Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Desert Isolation Discs. My guest today is a radio producer of notoriety, a DJ you can rely on to spin the right tune at the right time, and a man who wears a flat cap that reflects his musical wisdom. He's a crucial part of making Six Music increasingly the BBC's music radio flagship, and fought hard to save the station from closure. When his cans aren't on, he's known for his exploits in Lycra as an obsessive cycler, his love of the tricky trees and all things Nottingham. He is T-Bone, Mr. Tom Woolley, and today he's my guest on Desert Isolation Discs. Hello, Tom.
Hello, you Reds. which I have to say, every time anyone mentions Forest, I have to say that. It's
absolutely
in the contract.
And we're sat here, I mean, I can't help but see the glint of your award.
So before you arrived, I thought, I'll make this look like I'm a proper media person. Yeah. And I actually rearranged my desk where I work, where we're sat in my room at the moment. This award that is in front of you, though, that normally live in the living room, and I thought, just for Alex's benefit, I'll just move it into the office to today so he sees it. That's an award I won for my production skills, a minor trinket, a very, very minor radio award, but I'm still proud of it.
No, you should be proud of the Radio Academy Best Music Entertainment Producer Award, and you work on the Huey Show on Radio City.
And credit goes to, I mean, for this award, I mean, when I put the entries together, I said to Huey and everyone, I said, you know, if the judges get this entry, because you put like 15 minutes worth of clips from your show, so I said, if the judges get it, then we're in with a good chance of getting something. But it depends who the judges are. Because I had there's a piece in the entry that was an interview. In fact, it started with it. It was an interview with Prince Fatty, the dub producer. But the interview was all done in dub, so it was all echoey and sound of wind. I was like, you know, if the judges are high, then I am definitely winning this.
Yeah.
Luckily they got it. So maybe they were having a blaze or something. I don't know.
Great stuff. And so we've cast you into the desert for the purposes of choosing your eight tunes. How did you approach it? I mean, I just saw you crate dig most of them. And what's your first choice as well?
Well, basically, I approached it late because I didn't know what I had to do. You were already in my house when I asked you, do I have to pick some music? And I went to my trusty vinyl store. So I thought, all my favourite records will be on vinyl, because if I haven't discovered them on vinyl, I'll have since bought them again and had them on vinyl. That tends to how I go. But I wanted to have everything on vinyl, and not to play it off vinyl, but just so it's a nice kind of prop to hold, you know, in front of me as I'm doing it. I am a prop comic. So the first record I've gone for, I just love this. So the LP, it's called Mark of the Beast. And then below that, there's a kind of little, it just says 666. And it's by Willie Hutch, who I think is one of the most underrated artists on Motown ever. He was a songwriter there, I think, and a producer. This came out, I think it's mid-70s, I think it's 75, I'll have to check. And it's a slept-on album, people don't really know it. It's got nothing to do with Satan at all, although I don't know why. I suppose it's kind of a turbulent time in America's history. But I found this at my grand's house. We were just going through some old records that were there, and everything was classic grand stuff, you know, some Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin. This one just jumped out at me. I said, why has my grand got this Mark of the Beast record? And it's just when I was getting into vinyl myself, and I took it home. And it's a belter, and I think I've played it. You can see how bad it is. I think I've played it at every DJ set I've ever been. And I played a track off this on the Huey Show the other day, and I didn't realize how scratched the vinyl was. I was playing it out. I think, God, this sounds dreadful. You could hear one particular dirty spot come round, like, and periodically, even Huey spotted it, but you know, I suppose that adds to the magic. But the track I'm going to play for you is the one that you will know off this album, because I played it at every DJ set I ever do. It's a track called Try It, You'll Like It.
Try it, you'll like it, but the world is not just a cold world. All we need is
Willie Hutch back in the room with Mr. Tom Wally. So Tom, you mentioned there you're DJing out. How do you approach DJ? Can you remember your first set?
I do remember my first set. My first set was for a guy called Anders, who, you know, he's been on this podcast. Anders and I went on to form a record label together. We did some great nights, but Hello Thor Records was born out of our friendship. I met Anders at Actually, I met you through Anders, actually. But I met Anders through my podcast, Not in Nottingham, which I used to do back in Nottingham, where we'd play Nottingham-centric music and do other things.
Tell the listeners, what were your best features in the podcast? This is a legendary podcast. You're playing it, Tom. It's absolutely fantastic.
You are the biggest fan in the world of this podcast.
I am.
Weirdly. the only one. The best thing about the podcast is we had the best thing about doing radio production is features, right? Coming up with features and coming up with names for them. I think that podcast almost had a feature every other link, or maybe every link. So we had one called Science Outside, where because I was clever enough to work out how to fix up a phone through the desk, I realised we had to find some way of using the phone as part of the podcast. So I just sent my mate Spencer outside. He'd go outside and he'd phone in. Two of my favourites were, can you cook your dinner in a kettle?
Yeah.
And that's how we just put a load of stuff in a kettle, boiled it, and tasted it. It's like gravy and beans and all sorts of stuff. But my favourite ever one was, it's not even really scientific, but it was, what's better, Halloween or bonfire night? You know, they're really close together. And the way we did that to find out is I got a pumpkin and we filled it full of fireworks. We took that outside and lit them. And it was so ridiculous. But
what
flaming.
Was the result?
Well, obviously fireworks won because the pumpkin was no match for all the 15 quid worth of fireworks put in it. But there's the bits of, like, there's air bombs going off inside this pumpkin and bits of flaming pumpkin flying around onto roofs. What other features did we have in that show?
I mean, the main thing that you did was cram as many people into what sounded like quite a small room,
yeah,
and then just have them hanging out on the sofa and then just sort of lean towards the desk.
Kind of thinking behind that was basically we had a big team, but it's because basically every member of the team owned one piece of equipment that was essential to the podcast.
What's your next record?
So the next record, so this again goes back to our days in Nottingham, and if anyone's ever been there, sadly it's gone now, but there was a great record shop called Anarchy Records, still brilliant for record shopping in Nottingham, but Anarchy Records was my personal favourite. They always had a great turnover of records and they sold them cheap, so every week load of new stock and it would fly out doors and then something new the week after. And I lived around the corner, actually. In fact, I didn't live very far from where Market Park. So on a Saturday, it was kind of my first stop every Saturday morning. But this record, I didn't get from there because they wouldn't sell it to me in there. What they did is they lent it to me because it was the antithesis of other record shops. They'd actually lend you stuff that they wouldn't sell you. Exactly like a library. So this record, it's by a band. I mean, I don't know why they decided that I would like this, but it's by a band called Team Dresch. And if anyone knows Team Dresch, they were kind of a all-girl, queercore, riot-girl kind of hardcore punk band. The album's called Personal Best. And it's, if I was ever to do a kind of a theme of a collection of albums, it's albums where people are doing sports on the cover. That's one of my favourite genres. And in this, they're about to start some kind of sprint. Mm-hmm. They're in athletic clothing, a lot of track and field stuff going on. It's just so pure. It's kind of innocent. Kind of pure, very angry, very angsty, and it just takes you back to that kind of perfect period in the 90s. It's a little bit slacker, everything's just a bit cooler then. It came out in 1994. The track I'm going to play you off the album, again, really, really hard. I'm going to play this track called Hate the Christian Right.
Absolutely brilliant stuff there, Tom. So, as you were saying, your love of Nottingham, for a long time you were Mr. Nottingham, and that included working for BBC Radio Nottingham. How did you get the gig there, and what kind of stuff were you? You were doing some quite interesting stuff while you were on there.
I did everything when I was on that station, and it's kind of at the time. I mean, I lecture in radio these days as well as producing, and I at the time desperate to get out, and the longer the kind of the period of being away goes on, I kind of, the fondness for it grows. I kind of miss it a little bit. For BBC Nottingham, so I kind of got started on a show called The Beat, which is still going now on BBC Nottingham, Derby, Lincoln and Leicester on a Saturday night, 6 till 10. Mm. And that is an old show, kind of born out of the old sort of, it kind of came on air when it was the rave days, really. Mm. And it was a kind of contemporary youth programme. Mm. Since it's really grown up, and now it's part of the BBC introducing kind of strand. Mm. But it was doing what introducing does a long time before that. And so I kind of got started answering the phones on that show, and I co-presented it, produced it, did all sorts of festival coverage from there. Particularly across the summer, most weeks I was out somewhere in the country, in the East Midlands at a festival. Mm. I'd go out and interview bands and that sort of stuff. And from there, they kind of brought me into the kind of mainstream of Radio Nottingham. So I'd do the morning show, produce that, drive the radio car, some of my favourite things. Once I had to drive the BBC Nottingham car in front of the Nottingham Marathon, which is really good. And you don't know how stressful that is, because actually it's really hard to keep a constant speed.
What speed were you at?
Quite fast. And every time and again, I had a presenter in the back facing backwards to commentate on the race.
Yeah.
And every now and again he was like, step on it, because they were kind of coming up the side of me, overtaking me. Like, shit. But my favourite bit was, we just got to Home Pierpont, the National Water Sports Centre in Nottingham, and the commentator just had to go pull over, and he just threw up. Just like, my erratic driving.
Because he was facing backwards.
Backwards, and commentating, and I was driving erratically. That was good. But the kind of crowning moment of my Radio Nottingham career was a feature called Where's Wally, devised by Dean Jackson. We would do it every bank holiday Monday. I would be blindfolded, put in a taxi, and then just dumped somewhere in the county with about £2 to my name, and I have to make it back before the end of the show, using the public to guide me back. Genuinely, I would not know where I was. The public would help guide me back. Occasionally, people were, like, offering me lifts. Weird.
So these were people who were listening in, who sort of, yeah, must have guessed where you were. Or...
Yeah, people would come and find me, help me out.
Did you say, all I can see is this forecourt?
All I can see is a field most of the time. I mean, most of the time it was normally a field. Just endless kind of strange things happened. And that's kind of had a cult following, that feature. Like, it's still people... I mean, I don't know whether people still reminisce about it now, but for a couple of years after I left, people still missed
it. Absolutely.
And it's something... I mean, I kind of missed doing it, actually. That was brilliant. But it's that kind of thing about local radio where it's just... you've just got no resources and you just make do with what you've got. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Yeah. It's kind of stood me in good stead doing what I do now.
They glanced down, saw your surname and had a feature before you'd even thought
about it. Well, again, it was Dean Jackson takes the credit for that. Dean Jackson, the man behind the beat, the man who kind of gave me my career, really. Without Dean Jackson, I kind of wouldn't have done anything, really.
So what's the next song you've got for us?
Well, I mean, in no particular order, I'm going to pick this one because it's the one on the top of the pile. It's on a 45. On the Shout label. You'll know this one very well, because it's always what I normally finish with in a DJ set. Mm. I also played it. It was our friends, Anna and Nathan, when they got married. Mm. They had this song, I think, as they walked down the aisle, I think, as they were leaving. And I also played it for them in this DJ set.
Yeah.
The song is it's Freddie Scott. It's called You Got What I Need. Most people know it best from the Biz Markie version,
yeah.
Just a Friend. But... beautiful, beautiful record. I'm going to get married probably in the summer, and this one will probably feature heavily at my wedding. So yeah, enjoy this one. It's for all you old romantics.
Oh baby, you got what I need. You got everything I need. You're like medicine to me, oh baby. In a world of salty tears, so afraid and full of fears, so glad you saved me, dear.
That was the inimitable Freddie Scott there. So, Tom, you gave us a glance into BBC Radio Nottingham, but now you're a producer down here. Perhaps your biggest gig is on The Huey Show on Radio 6 Music.
That's my only dependable gig.
Quite. Give us an insight into how you put that together for the people who are sort of budding radio producers. How does the process work?
Well, so The Huey Show on 6 Music is kind of my bread and butter. I've produced it for probably 4 years now, from when it was on a Sunday afternoon to now when it's on a Saturday morning. Same time, I'm a freelancer, so I produce any other show. I've probably done every single show on 6 Music and then some. But Huey, kind of like, it's my one regular gig. In terms of putting it together, it's quite easy for me. I mean, it's a funny one. Me and Huey really mesh really well, music taste wise. I get to put some of the tracks into the show. Huey gives me a load of tracks, and I tend to kind of work on the order that we play them in. And I like to think, because our music tastes are so similar, you can't tell where one begins and one ends. And Huey's taste is fantastic, and that's why I love doing it. It's up there with, you know, Huey, Keris, Jarvis, Iggy Pop, my favourite shows on 6 Music, hands down, musically. And so I'm just so lucky to do it. So normally, Huey, you'll send me a bundle of tracks in the week. I'll put them together in a kind of order. It's changed ever so slightly, because now we have a few playlist tracks. We have the 6 Music playlists on Saturday, so we play those. But I'll put them in the right kind of order that I feel. I'll chuck Huey a few new releases, see what he's digging, you know, suggest sort of a few to him, put them together. Then I kind of work around picking some of the features. So we have a thing called Digging in the Crates, where we've been buying vinyl. And the listeners each week suggest another vinyl to go in that collection, but on a theme. So I'll think of the theme and then pick the record. And it's always one that me and Huey dig.
Yeah.
The other stuff. So and I try to make sure there's a good, because all the new records get sent to both me and Huey, and I, you know, today, in fact, was my day of going through new records. So kind of, I'm the first stop in filtering out all the junk.
Yeah.
And then I put the good stuff in there. Mm. You're playing to a very broad audience on a Saturday morning. But we also like to take them on a little, you know, we can play slightly riskier tracks.
And I like that you'll throw in some Nottingham stuff as well for us. And also that Huey references you a lot, you know, he's not taking all the credit.
No, Huey does reference me. I mean, sometimes I cringe, I think, you know, don't reference me on the show, Huey. This is your show, don't reference me. Because there's a thing he calls the T-Bone trifecta on the show every week, which basically I put kind of three... To give it, rather than just be a show where it's play a record, that was, this is, that was, this is, sort of mix together three records that mix properly. And, he gives me credit. You know, I think, no one cares who T-Bone is. You know, no one cares. Just be Huey Show, you know. I don't care. You can take all the credit if you want it. But no, he does. And, we kind of trust each other. And we DJ together. You know, we often do back-to-backs together. We did Glastonbury. My favourite one was the one we did, you might have been there, at the Big Chill House.
No, I didn't.
You were, that was. I mean, we did that. We supported Hackney Colliery Band and, for Wawa 45s, and me and Huey DJed just back to back for an hour, and it was absolutely mega. And like, the thing is, like, normally when it's back to back, there's some kind of quite a bit of collaboration, but normally it's like Huey plays something so disruptive, and I have to follow him. Like, he'll play like some Body Count or something like that, and it's great. Totally changes the way you look at your record collection and how you use it. So, I mean, Huey's just a great person. But what you hear on the radio is just genuinely how he is in real life. He is, he's absolutely mega, and I was so lucky to get landed with him. And it was in a real weird time for me because I was about to. My contract at Six Music had ended, and I was supposed to go back to Radio Nottingham. And then the Huey job came up kind of that week. So I actually moved from my house in London back to Nottingham for a week, and then came to London and moved back into the same house and put everything back where it was, and then just started with Huey. But I don't take it for granted.
And it's testament to you. So what are you playing back-to-back with the Freddie Scott then?
Back-to-back with the Freddie Scott. So again, this is a true sound clash. This might go... I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit. So one of the things that I really, really love musically is disco. Got huge love for disco. Kind of came about from, again, taking me back to Nottingham days, but through... who's at my door? Hang on, I'll get this. We'll pick this back up.
Interviews at the door, Tom.
Who's at my door? I bet it's Sizzo. Is it you? I'm doing an interview. I'm in the middle of an interview with Alex.
Oh, shit, Alex
here? Yeah.
Oh, God.
Hiya.
Hi. Hello, yeah.
Oh, we're in the middle of a take. I was about to introduce a track. Nice. All the cats are home.
Good, right. You
right.
Guys
get home. Is that your main job of the thing?
Yeah. So disco is kind of my... it's a love I kind of picked up in Nottingham. And this is one... that I love. You always know it's quality if it's on the Prelude label. I'll buy anything on that label. This track is by France Jolie, and she is French, I believe. She is French or Spanish. Who knows? But anyway, basically, I know that because there's an English language version of this track, and then a French, no, Spanish version of this track is on the other side. But the track is called "Gonna Get Over You," and it's just a beautiful piece of camp disco.
Tom, we've heard about your early days, but tell us about your early, early days.
First of all, wanted to be a footballer, wanted to play for Forest, wanted to be Stuart Pearce, basically. Then I realised I was very, very small in those days. And in the old days of football, if you were just small, they're not interested in you. So then it was music, so I learnt the guitar and I wanted to be in a band.
What band would you have ideally wanted to be in at that point?
What band? In those days, I'd probably wanted to be in like Metallica or and then Oasis, something like that. I was definitely interested in radio. Radio's not something I kind of did accidentally. I definitely wanted to do it from about... I think, going back, it's weird. I used to listen to a lot of Radio 1 in those days, and I loved everything. I loved Chris Evans' breakfast show. It was brilliant. Mark and Lard... On their 10 o'clock show at night was absolutely fantastic. Collins and McConey's Hit Parade was brilliant. There were just so many great things on Radio 1 those days. But saying that, I never, ever listened to John Peel. And it's a funny thing about kind of a lot of our generation. Like, John Peel is held in such high esteem. But I don't think a lot of us actually listen to him. It's like that Sex Pistols gig that everyone claims, in Manchester, that everyone claims they're at. Tommy's son, who's a DJ, who I know really well. I've told him many times that I never listened to his dad, and he's kind of thinks that most people were the same as me, really. Most people in radio are just lying.
And you wanted to be in front of the mic at that point or behind it, when you were starting out?
I think I wanted to be in front of the mic, and I don't mind being in front of the mic. I've done podcasts and stuff. But what I wouldn't want to do now I've seen it, is beyond being in front of the mic every single day. I mean, it's hard being a producer who produces a show that's on every day, but presenting a show that's on every day, you have bad days when you just don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and how you go on air and talk on those days. Obviously, you can just play a lot of music. It's the best thing. But so it's that funny thing. It kind of brings me around to something I'm going to do. At the moment, we're going to start a new podcast. Myself and John Hillcock, who's a presenter on XFM and Amazing Radio and Six Music. And it is essentially, it's John Hillcock meeting other DJs. Because DJs are a strange breed of people. And there's a lot of paranoia because you're never very comfortable in the slot that you're on radio. There's always someone else trying to get it off you, or you're always at the mercy of ratings and that sort of stuff. And if someone like John, you know, John's kind of one of those jobbing DJs that's been around all sorts of stations, and his thought is that he's never met a happy DJ. And there is a slight melancholy behind most DJs. It takes a strange character to do that kind of job.
So have you played your next tune on the radio?
Do you know what? I think I have played it once. You don't hear it on the radio very often. And I do remember when I played it, because I played it... remember when there was the London riots? Was it part of the riots? Anyway, there was the Pious fire at the factory. Remember, it burnt a lot of stock.
Yeah.
And some of the stock belonged to a label called Polyvinyl. Pious are their distributors over here, I think. So I thought, we'll do something on the radio. Tom Ravenscroft was presenting that weekend. We'll do something on the radio, play a track from a connected label. And I chose this. It's just an album I come back to. And it's by a band called American Football. Don't know if you've ever heard of them. The album's called American Football. They only ever made one album, and they made it in 1999. They're actually reforming at the moment to do some gigs. The first gigs... since then, really. This album is just absolutely perfect. It's so 90s emo, not in the kind of emo that it kind of came to be, but it's post-rock, mathy, a lot of time signature changes, very emotional. I mean, you look at the song titles are I'll see you when we're both not so emotional, you know I should be leaving soon, but the regrets are killing me. So the real classic emo titles. But the track I'm going to play for you, it's the opening track on the album, and it's just an absolute killer track. It's called Never Meant. So yeah, American Football, Never Meant.
Great to hear you embracing American sports, a former softball player yourself as well. So classic, let's have a listen. Let's just tell. That was American Football, back in the room with T-Bone, picking out his eight tunes that he couldn't live without. Tom, I mentioned you're DJing then. How do you approach a set? And when you're in the middle of it, are you one of those ones that's, you know, you're absolutely into it, or you're in the zone, or, you know, I've seen you in action. You're able to chat to your adoring fans. Tom is one of the premier DJs of Craft Nights, having been a partner with me in both Jumpers for Goalposts and Come Get Felt Up, the Nottingham and London respective craft and gig nights. How do you approach it?
Well, the good thing about Craft Nights is for the start of it, people are just making stuff, so you can play whatever you want. It doesn't matter. And you can try out records. I mean, like, coming back to it, I mean, I don't think we ever finished that question, but, you know, I got started DJing through a friend of mine, Anders, through the podcast. He listened to the podcast and he asked me to DJ. And I just made a CD and did it. Just records I wanted to play that I thought would sound good. And from there, I kind of accidentally became I'd never call myself a DJ, really, because I'm rubbish. But like, I've done loads of gigs. I've done Glastonbury. I'm an absolute chancer. I'm rubbish. But I've got a good collection of records. And then we started something called Yeah, I'll Play It Later, which is just three of us started as a DJ collective as a joke. And then someone booked us. we're not real. And then
we should have a moment of appreciation for that name. Yeah, I'll Play It Later is an absolutely great doctrine to live by as a DJ.
And you know, they were the greatest DJ night. So there was, at the end of us, it swelled to about six different DJs, each playing a kind of specialist subject of their kind of chosen genre. We had jazz and reggae and all sorts of stuff. And then, but the end of the night would be the best bit where we'd all play one record each and it'd just be absolute carnage. And just, you know, they were brilliant. So, but in terms of putting together a DJ set, it depends, I mean, where I'm playing and what I'm doing. The stuff that always works, the funk and soul stuff. Mm. I always try and get away loads of disco. And disco's hit and miss, actually. Sometimes the crowd don't want to hear it. And I've always struggled with that. You know, unless you're playing a dedicated disco night, people expect to hear it. Yeah. Or you're playing a good Sound Clash sort of thing. Particularly the rarer disco, doesn't always go down well. Perhaps I'm using it in the wrong way. But always keep it funk and soul. And the great thing about funk and soul records, particularly the Motown-y kind of stuff, is it's short and everyone knows it, you know. Yeah. And it's the same thing with putting together a radio. Honestly, doing the DJ gigs has really helped me when it comes to now having to schedule radio shows because you have to use that combination of familiar and unfamiliar tracks and how best to spread them out and use them. You know, people respond to, you know, on a radio show, you play a familiar track out of the news or at the top of the hour, those kind of big junctions or at the back of a trail.
Yeah.
And that gives people that little bit of comfort. And then you can play something slightly they might not definitely know. And then you can get rarer. And then you bring them back.
So your equivalent of the news is when you nip to the loo in the middle of your set, is it?
That's my equivalent of the news. Or when you get up to do a speech or something, yeah, you know, well, that's, yeah, when I we're mean, doing the competition giveaways.
Far too frequent.
So that's how I put together a DJ set. Always it has been that I will only ever do it off of vinyl. That's always been my kind of rule. It's getting harder and harder to do those.
Why?
It's so heavy. We did Glastonbury this year and Sizzo, my other half over there, had to help me carry records. And it was just so heavy carrying records through mud.
When you've got muscle like that, then no problem.
She is the muscle. She's just come back from the gym as well. Which, you know, look at the guns. I could see a time now where I don't necessarily play all vinyl. But also it's just because the nature of my job has changed. Now I get sent a lot of stuff digitally rather than going out and buying it. Mm. It's a shame just not to play that stuff. So, you know, maybe. But, doing it off vinyl has just been... It's just way more fun when you're doing it, really, I think.
So what's your next tune?
Okay, right, next tune. So I did mention earlier on... I'm going to keep it sad for now. I've really badly... Talking of scheduling records, I've scheduled these so badly. basically, right, so what we're going to do now, it's quite a sad record. Fans of the film Groundhog Day will enjoy this record. It's one of my absolute all-time favourites. Originally, it's a country and western record that Ray Charles got hold of and did a great version. I mentioned earlier that I'm getting married later this year, and it's the kind of it's one of those songs I think I'd love to feature at my wedding. But actually, it's although it sounds romantic, it's actually quite a sad story. It's one of unrequited love. But in Groundhog Day, it seemed to work well enough. But the track is it's by Ray Charles, I mentioned, and it's called "You Don't Know Me."
You give your hand to me. Then you say hello, and I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so, and anyone can tell. You think you know me well, but you don't know me.
No, you don't know me.
No, you don't know the one who dreams of you at night and longs to kiss your lips and longs to hold you tight. Oh, I'm just a friend, that's all I've ever been. 'Cause you don't know me.
No, you don't know me.
So that was Ray Charles. Tom, for those who happen to be gliding around the streets of North London, they may be lucky enough to see you quite a lot in Lycra these days because you are such a cycling enthusiast. What draws you to it? And what do you think about when you're on the bike? Because you go for pretty long rides these days.
Yeah, I mean, I do. The other day we did 140 kilometres in the Chilterns, so it's quite long. I likes, I came to it by necessity. You know, I've always ridden a bike, used to do mountain biking as a kid. And moving to London, it was just a better way to get around. And then quickly, I tried a fixed gear. I said I'd never do it. And then I realised I just wanted to try something different. So I'll try a fixed gear. I had a bike I wanted to convert. Built up a fixed gear. And I just thought, oh, God, I love this. But what I noticed, so going to my local bike shop, going out on rides with them, I realised I was pretty decent at it. Not amazing or anything, but I'm decent enough to take part in races and hold my own now. So I quite like that. I mean, a lot of people find that when they're doing something, an exercise like swimming or cycling, that's when they have their best ideas. And I think, you know, it's quite good. It just empties your brain. But I could just evangelise on how good cycling is. Like, I mean, it's so great. You know, save money going to work and stuff like that. I'm fitter than I ever have been in my life the last couple of years. But like, it's just great for me because it gets me out of London every weekend. But also, it's a great bunch of people. Like, I mean, in my current club that I've ridden with for a while, so Martin Fry from ABC, he is in my club. So I go, you know, what a lovely fella. The guy from Gentleman's Dub Club, he's in my cycling club. There are various people from sort of cycling industry and people from cool brands like Rafa, some great writers and that sort of stuff. So it's an interesting, it's funny, like cycling, a friend of mine said, he's got this quote that he's lost more friends to cycling than to drink and drugs combined. It does tend to get you.
So you're all about the revolution. It's either records or wheels, something like that.
So, yeah, absolutely. You know, if I can combine cycling and music, then I've really hit. You know, I've really found my place. And I did a Gideon Coe show on Six Music from the Tour de France this year. He was the tour up in Leeds, and he played bike related records for 3 hours. And I thought, this is it. I've done it. Worlds collided. Yeah. The Venn diagram is perfectly central. Everything fit aligns. So it was great. Yeah.
Absolutely. Beyond just the craft work. So what's the next record?
Right. Well, I've done two kind of saddies. And what I've got left is one that is sad again. And one that is not sad, but it's got some potty mouth language in, and is a hip hop record. So, what you tell me what I should go for next?
I think this one.
The hip hop. Okay, so I had to include some hip hop in this. I don't have 36 Chambers on vinyl, so I ignored the Wu-Tang for a bit. And there are so many places I could go to. I did have Jay Dilla in my hand, but I thought it was a little bit obvious. Had some Mad Lib, but I'm going to go for one of my favourite producers, she's DJ Premier, who did this record. It's kind of, do you know what? I mean, as much as I love stuff like Illmatic and stuff, I think this is a great kind of companion to that. All the heads will know it, but outside of that, it's not as well known. But it's by J-Rude the Damager. I think this came out in 94. Most of the records I'm playing seem to have come out in 94. And many, many tracks that I could play on this. But I'm going to go for one that we've played on the Huey Show quite a lot. It's J-Rude the Damager and My Mind Spray.
Like I'm Imhotep, application of mind over matter, make full scatter, rhymes fatter, mind splatter, your girl been over and over and over, MCs try to test the damage, but you just can't win, excellent with the wordplay, you lay face down when my mind spray.
Tom, we're coming up to your final choice, but just before that, where do you, you know, are they...
Oh, who's ringing me now? Let's have a listen.
Nice.
That's my mum, isn't it?
Oh, I'm sure it must be.
Unknown. Not getting answered.
CPI?
See you later, mate.
Go on.
Well, that could have been the next juncture, you know, in your life, but...
It could, yeah. It's the sliding doors moment, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. If I had only picked that up rather than listened to Alex.
No, I only deal with Snapchat these days.
Where are we going to see Tom Wally next? What's going on?
Well, long may the radio stuff continue and more of it. I talked about the podcast of John Hillcock,
yeah,
which we're really kind of enthused about, so hopefully you will see that shortly. We're kind of putting it together a bit like comedians in cars getting coffee. So we're going to record a season's worth of shows and then make those season pretty much, you know, one episode every week, 6 weeks, nice season. Then we'll do another season. So that's the next thing. Hopefully loads and loads more radio. If I get my ass in gear, I will do another podcast based around music, which I present. It's kind of a specific genre that I'm really interested in, but I don't want to take the energy out of it because I might not do it. Yeah. You never know.
Oh, we're close to a Desert Isolation Discs exclusive.
Yeah, nearly. I've got an idea. I need to put it together. You'll see me, if any of you are in the London area and you're doing any bike races, you'll see me on the road and on the track. But also, I'll probably do a lot more, hopefully a lot more university stuff. I really get a kick out of teaching radio. I just find it amazing that I can get employed by a university to teach people.
What do they ask you, the students? What's common question?
Well, I mean, the students, I mean, some of them, they don't... The funny thing is, if I was with Capital or One Extra, they'd know a lot more about what I do. They don't know Six Music. But the ones that do know Six Music, you can spot them a mile off. You can spot the indie kids around.
Got glasses like mine, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Biss T-shirts.
Yeah. So we've come to your final choice, Bated Breath. What is it, Tom?
Well, final choice, it should be the final choice because it's the one I took the longest to find in my collection because it was misfiled, but I thought I should definitely play it. I wanted something in there that's, I wanted to show a broad kind of cross-section of what I'm into, and I wanted something that's vaguely Americana, vaguely from that golden kind of age of the late 60s, early 70s. This is a record that everyone should own. Most people probably do. It's the Brown album, but it's the band's debut album, the band. And I came to the band quite late. I have a tendency to come to stuff quite late. Stuff like, I've never listened to a David Bowie album. I've never listened to a David Bowie
really?
Album. Like, and but it'll always be there and I'll be able to pick it up at my leisure. Right. Same with Tom Waits. I've never listened to Tom Waits' album. Huey's always banging on at me to listen to it. That will always be there. Velvet Underground is another one. I'll properly listen to them in my own time.
I see. You're saving a rainy year.
The band is one that I've come to and I absolutely love. When you listen to it, have a think about the Flaming Lips as you're listening to this, because I feel like this is the blueprint for everything that the Flaming Lips did that I loved. Mm. And I wanted to include the Flaming Lips in my songs today. Soft Bulletin is one of my favourite albums of all time. But the Flaming Lips have gone... They've gone to a place now that I'm not really comfortable with. It seems to be a pastiche of what it used to be. So I'm not that comfortable with it. Still love them, but not that comfortable. But this record, you could easily imagine Wayne Coyne singing it. Perhaps he has. It's like the best fractured moments you get on Soft Bulletin. So the track is The Band with Whispering Pines.
Inside my lonely room, there is no in between. Whispering pines, rising of the tide. If only one star shines. Just enough to get inside. I will wait until it all goes wrong with you in sight. Lost our
heart. So, Tom, we've come to the end of your eight tunes. We're casting you out into the desert.
Do you know, I completely forgot I was on a desert. Maybe I should have mentioned it. I thought about it.
Well, you've fallen there after a freak hang gliding accident. How do you think you'll cope? You say that you're okay on your own.
with the isolation, I'd be absolutely fine, I suppose. But my complexion is not ideal for the desert. That's, I've got to say.
Pure East Midlands skin.
Pure East Midlands skin. So, you know, a cap will be essential to keep the heat off. Yes, hopefully, I mean, if you allow me to have these on vinyl on the desert, then I can make some kind of rudimentary structure out of the vinyl. Perhaps a house. I'm all set, really.
Yeah, it sounds like. And you always wear a cap anyway, so that's fine.
Always, always.
So we're very generous here on Desert Isolation Discs. We give you the Tiger Who Came to Tea and the complete Red Dwarf box set. But we allow you another luxury item. What would you choose?
Well, I'm looking forward to watching Claire Grogan in Red Dwarf. So that's fantastic. Good. That'll, you know, I've got some kind of companion. one of my earliest crushes. So you give me another item to take with me. Presumably you've given me the DVD box set. You give me a TV to watch it on. I don't have to request that. That's
fine,
done.
Yeah.
Excellent. Do you know what? Well, it's going to be predictable, isn't it? I think I'm going to take a bike. I'm going to take a bike.
Which one, though? You've got four hand.
Well, I'm thinking it's on sand, so I'm going to take a cyclocross bike. So something with fat tyres, you know. Hopefully I can still connect to Strava and upload the data of my rides, you know. Presumably there haven't been many people who've ridden in the desert, so I'd be setting some of the records for that. So, yeah, I'm going to take a bike because I can't think of anything better. And also hats. Am I allowed to have loads of hats?
well, Cad's brought you there with a hat on.
At least one cool hat.
Go wearing the clothes you expect to crash in, yeah.
Okay, good. Brilliant, yeah, so I'll take a bike.
Setting records and playing records, perfect. And so if you had to pick one of the eight tunes to save from the burning crash, what would it be?
I'm going to take American Football, Never Meant, I think. It's long, which is good to say. Get my money's worth. But I think, you know, when I'm going to be in the desert, even though I am going to be on my own and I don't mind being on my own so much, I am going to miss a few people. So I want something with a little bit of sadness and sentiment attached to it, and something that makes me feel like the great thing about those emo records, they make me feel like I'm a teenager again, riding around on my BMX, headphones on, and I could be in any American suburb, you know, and I could be dating Molly Ringwald. You know, so I'm going to take American Football with me.
Fantastic. Tom, it's been an absolute pleasure to listen to your Desert Isolation Discs. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you, listener, for joining us. Any resemblance to any other radio shows, alive or dead, is purely coincidental, and we'll hear you next time.
I like how you thank people now. There's no chance anyone is still listening by this point. They've turned off. They don't like me. It's gone.
No.
But thank you if you're still here.